They are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Elizabeth of Thuringia was raised, she was royalty from Hungary, and she was raised by the Queen of Hungary, her mother, Gertrude. And all of her youth, she spent with a very great example. All of her youth, she spent with a very great example of all the things that her mother gave her in the way of piety in raising her up. That her mother was a great example of prayer and ensured that Elizabeth learned all of her prayers very well, and that she was regular throughout the day in reciting them. Gertrude spared no expense for her daughter's education, ensuring that she had both secular education and the best of religious education, so she knew her faith inside and out. And that she was a model of charity in her generosity to the poor, realizing that her state as queen not only gave her the ability, but the responsibility to take care of those who were in need. And that in all things, that her position as a ruler required her to look at the people of her country, not as mere subjects, but people entrusted to her care, and that she should look at them as her own children and want to serve them and to do what is best for their own existence. All these things and much more, Gertrude taught her own daughter, Elizabeth. And all of these things St. Elizabeth took in and she embraced, and she began to live and embody herself, growing up extraordinarily pious. And yet, eventually, in 1220, she found herself very suddenly struck by the departure of her mother. She died, and Elizabeth found herself alone. This is okay. She was old enough now to rule on her own, and she continued all the things that her mother had taught her. And moreover, moved by grief because she was so close to her mother, that she regularly prayed and sacrificed and did so much for the deliverance of her soul from purgatory. And constantly, each and every day, she spent long hours hoping that her efforts would deliver Gertrude from those pains. Finally, she began to wonder if she had done enough, if all of her efforts had succeeded in her goal, and that her mother was now in the beatific vision. She knew she was a very just and pious woman, and so she figured that she would die in the state of grace, and she knew that she had made many efforts in that end. So she prayed and asked to know, was she able to stop offering these sacrifices for her mother, or did she need to continue? Well, that night, as she was kneeling beside her bed, her prayer was answered in a most alarming way. As she prayed, all of a sudden, her mother came before her. Her soul came to visit her there by her bedside. And she gazed upon her and realized that she had a somewhat sad countenance, and that this woman who was full of life during her time alive looked very much emaciated in the apparition. And her mother came to her bedside, and she tenderly knelt down beside her and explained all that she was witnessing. That indeed she had saved her soul, that she had died as in a state of grace, but that she still languished in purgatory, despite all of her daughter's efforts so far to liberate her. And she explained the reason for it. While she was extraordinarily pious and she did all of her religious duties very, very well, there was one thing that was lacking in her life. It was that she lacked in the mode of mortification. Regularly around her as queen, she was afforded all of the comforts in the world, all of the fineries, the very nice foods, the best of drinks, the comforts of the things of the household servants and all of that. And while she didn't abuse them per se, at the same time, she never skipped to avail herself of those things. And so, as her life went on, and the punishment due to her faults and failings and sins as they were, as those things that were owed as debt for her own offenses by her sins, grew. She never did anything to expiate them, really, on earth, or not regularly, anyways. And it was for that reason that she was in purgatory. And that it was that reason why she appeared emaciated. Because now her main efforts in purgatory, her main sufferings, were one of continued fasting. And because she failed to do so well during her life. And with that, finally, she asked St. Elizabeth to redouble her efforts, to do the best she can and continue praying and sacrificing so that her time may be lessened. Her daughter faithfully did so and will continue to do so until finally it was revealed to her that she had finally been delivered into heaven. This is a most important aspect for us to contemplate for ourselves as we come through the month of November, the month of the Holy Souls, and we want to draw from that what many lessons and important aspects to our lives. The things of religious duties for ourselves, many of them are clear and are apparent, and we are successful in doing them oftentimes, or at least we know that we need to work at them and continue to strive to do them better and better. To say our prayers each day, most especially the rosary, to practice the virtues, especially charity, to fight off temptations whenever they may come. These things we know are duties of state, to do them and to try to take care of what God has called us to. But if there's one area that perhaps as a collective we oftentimes shy from, it is most likely this way of mortification. And the explanation for that is simple. We are not drawn to mortify ourselves. Our natural appetites are strong. Our flesh is oftentimes weak. And it is a force to get ourselves to do the minimum in that way, to follow after the prescribed abstinence and times of fast, and to follow through with them by what is just merely required by letter of the law at those times. That, to us, can sometimes seem burdensome. So anything above and beyond is something that really takes a lot of focus and effort to be successful in. But, just like Gertrude, our time, when we commit faults and sins and things like that, our time what we owe towards reparation to our Lord for the offenses given, those do grow. And we, perhaps, are not doing what we can to expiate them well. Moreover, we realize that in this shortcoming, we have sort of beside ourselves a little tiny altar of idols. Because that is what St. Paul talks about in today's epistle. When he says that there are enemies of the cross of Christ and that their God is their belly, he is speaking of the reality, as he writes to Philippians, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who possess the faith, who have converted, and whom he has left behind. Now he's encouraging them to change in some of the aspects of their life because they stand in danger, as he writes, in either danger of complete destruction, or at least in a partial way, because they still have held on to some of these weaknesses of themselves. And so he encourages them to not be enemies of the cross, that is to say, to not be afraid to do penance, to perform acts of mortification, because it is necessary for all Christians, in order to save their souls, to share in that cross of Christ. It is necessary for all of us to sacrifice and to mortify ourselves and to do penance in order for us to grow in grace. This is really for three reasons. First and foremost is what we talked of. It's a matter of justice. That we, by our offenses to God, we have what remains even after confession, as we know it, as stain of sin. It is the temporal punishment due to our offenses. Yes, we are forgiven, but just as a child who apologizes for misbehaving still has to live out his punishment that is allotted by his parents, he doesn't get out of trouble just because he says he's sorry. We, likewise, by our offenses, owe some reparation to God for having offended him. And he accepts that in the form of prayer and penance and sacrifices. And the church, moreover, gives us even ample opportunities through indulgences to work these off. And so the first part is a part of justice. The second part is a reason of fortification. It is important for us to mortify ourselves so that we are better able to fight against future temptations that come our way. If we are lax in our willingness to put the sting to our flesh, then we leave ourselves open for our flesh to tempt us by seeking natural comforts, natural base desires, and we will find ourselves much less ready to resist such temptations when they come before us, almost as if we are taken off guard. But by mortification and regular sacrifices to be offered in these ways, we toughen our willpower up. We forego things that are legitimate, that cause us pleasure, in order that we may better resist things that are illegitimate, that would cause us temporal pleasure down the line. And the third reason why we must share in this way means of mortification is that it is an intimate part of true charity, the virtue of charity. When we think of the definition of the word, what we find, you've heard it 1,000 times, the love of God with our whole mind and our whole soul and our whole selves, and the love of neighbor as self through the love of God. If it is our entire being that has to love God, our flesh is part of that. And if it is that we need, if it is that we are just to follow after our Lord, then we need to likewise be willing to accept sacrifice as Christ did, to have our small little sliver of that wood. And if we are to prove to God that we really do indeed love him, we must place him above all of those base desires in our life, that those natural appetites, while they are there for a reason, and at times they must be satisfied. We can't forever not eat, or we cannot forever go without water or anything like that. We also realize in that we, for short periods of time, can and must, to show him that we offer these things for you, to show our Lord that indeed our bellies are not our gods, that we do not worship these things and love and care after these things more than him, that they will not take so much of our attention, so much of our want, so much of our yearning that we lose sight of what we strive after the most, and that is God and heaven. And so, for today, that is the very lesson that we take from the Holy Souls, most especially that story of Gertrude, the mother of St. Elizabeth, that we must do penance, we must mortify ourselves, and we cannot escape it. And it is far better to do that here, by our own choice, than to find ourselves still owing after we are gone, and no longer making it of our own volition. Because here, those actions, they serve to bring us closer to God, and they serve to show Him that they are done purely out of love of Him, and truly by our own desire. God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.